Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when you were a kid, some of you are still kids, you've probably done this before, but we'd always ask these questions like, if I found the genie in a bottle, you know, and I get three wishes, what would my three wishes be? You remember, right? And you always have to have the stipulation that, well, you can't ask for 1,000 more wishes or whatever, right? That's not fair. So it's kind of fun to think about, if we had three wishes, could ask for anything we wanted in the entire world, what would we ask for? And you know what always kind of tends to make it in one of those three wishes is a whole lot of money, right? A whole lot of money. That would be a good wish to have. Well, in today's gospel reading, I think you have a real similar situation here. You have this beggar. He's a blind man. His name is Bartimaeus. That's not in our gospel reading, but in the Gospel of Mark, he gives us his name. His name was Bartimaeus. He was blind. He made his, you know, made ends meet by begging on the side of the road. Okay, so here he basically gets to ask a genie for a wish, right? Only in this case, it's not really a genie because genies aren't even real. Here is God, Lord of heaven and earth, God of God, light of light, comes up to him, you know, Bartimaeus hears he's coming and, you know, says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, well, what do you want me to do for you? Right? There it is. There's your one wish. God of God asks you, what do you want me to do for you? And what are you going to ask for? Remember, Bartimaeus is a beggar. And see, that's part of the whole issue in the gospel reading. Jesus' disciples are so frustrated because they think this guy just wants money. And so as, you know, he's crying out, Bartimaeus is crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. The disciples and Peter are all telling him to shut up. Get out of the way. We don't want anything to do with you. Jesus has more important things to deal with, you know. They're just like you and I. They get tired of people asking for money. Don't you? I mean, when you get the call, you know, about whatever association, can you give 20 bucks? We get sick of it. We're tired of it. You understand how the disciples felt. Everybody wants money. But here's the funny thing. Not this guy. Not Bartimaeus. He gets one wish with Lord of heaven and earth, and it's not for money. He wants something better than that. And, you know, that's the whole thing. Money just isn't worth that much. It just isn't worth that much. The world in our hearts, you know, says, hey, money is king of everything. If I just have more money, I can get whatever I want. You got a couple examples going on right now, and one is the Super Bowl. I love watching the Super Bowl as much as anybody. I can't wait for tonight's game. I'm thrilled about it, right? But we all know this is one big money show. It really is. $5 million for a 30-second commercial and have over, I think, 160 million people watching. We say, wow, look at all that money, right? But what's going to happen tomorrow morning? It's all done and gone, right? Got to wait another year to get that kind of an audience. I mean, money is just, it's not worth that much. And another example I'll give you is the presidential race, and I think this one's even more pointed example. Hillary Clinton has raised over $160 million for her campaign. Jeb Bush, just so you don't think I'm picking on any party, Jeb Bush has raised over $150 million for his campaign. And both of them could very easily not be the nominee. Millions of dollars. Well, what is it worth? Advertising? Wow, is it really worth all this? Well, here's a guy in your gospel reading that says, it's not worth it. I have the Lord of heaven and earth here. I'm not going to ask for money. There's something much greater, something much more important. And so even though all his life he's been a beggar, asking for money, this time when Jesus calls him over and says, what do you want me to do for you? He doesn't say, can you spare some change? He says, I want to see. I want to see. You know, Jesus, I've got this problem. It's a really big one that money is not going to fix. I want to see again. Now, sometimes you and I, see, we're guilty of expecting far too little from Jesus. Bartimaeus is not going to mess around asking for something little. He wants to see again. And you understand it's about much more than just physical sight here going on. Because Jesus tells him specifically, your faith has made you well. It wasn't just that Bartimaeus could now see with his eyes, but it's that when his eyes first open and he sees, who does he see? Jesus, his Savior. Absolutely. Jesus, his Savior. That's who he sees. He saw and believed in the guy who couldn't just give him some change to get him through the day, but could give him salvation and eternal life. So if we're going to ask Jesus for something, in other words, let's be bold like Bartimaeus. Let's be bold and say, Jesus, I want to see. I want to see. And you know, God's word, the scriptures, uses that, uses blindness and seeing as a way to talk about having faith in Jesus and having salvation. Like the hymn we all love to sing, Amazing Grace, right? I once was blind, but now I see. And that's what we call conversion or regeneration. It's being able to see things, right? We are blind in our sin. We will never see the truth. So we pray, God, open our eyes so I see things for how they really are. So I see God for who he really is, that he loves me, cares about me, gave his son for me, so that I see that Christ is my Savior, right? So in other words, let's kneel by Bartimaeus. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? And let's say, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. Right? So first of all, this is what we want to see. Jesus, let me see how great your love is for me. Let me try and comprehend this, okay? That in the beginning of the gospel reading today, Jesus is telling his disciples, guys, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and here's what's going to happen there. I'm going to be delivered over to the Gentiles. I'm going to be mocked, made fun of. I'm going to be spit on. I'm going to be shamefully treated. I'm going to be flogged, and then I'm going to be killed. But the disciples didn't see that. They were like, what is he talking about? You know, they were blind. They were blind. So they just ignored it. But let's see how great Jesus' love is for us. Because any one of us, if we knew that was going to happen, if I know that I'm going somewhere and there I'm going to be arrested and beaten and mocked and put to death, I'm going to turn around and go somewhere else. But not Jesus. He knows exactly what's going to happen and yet loves you and I so much that he goes there anyway. That was God's whole plan. He knew what it would cost him. He knew the suffering and the pain that it would cost to save you and I, but he went. So, like Bartimaeus, we're going to say, Lord, let me see, Jesus, let me see how great and incredible that love is that you have for me. And to see that love of Jesus is to have faith, you understand? That's what you and I really need. Money, of course, can't buy happiness, we always say. But the love of Jesus will give you more than happiness. It will give you eternal joy. Let me see that love of Jesus. We also need to see something else. We also need to see what the real problem is, what our real need is. You know that anytime you're going to try to recover from some kind of addiction or problem or illness or whatever, the first step in any recovery is knowing what the problem is. And if Bartimaeus had thought, you know, my problem is I want to buy a Big Mac and I only have 50 cents, then he wasn't going to address the real problem, right? It wouldn't have helped him that much. The real problem was he needed to see. He needed to see Jesus. He needed to be saved from his sins, right? We often get sidetracked in things that really aren't the problem. I'm going to give you a few examples. Sometimes we think our real problem is everybody else around us. And we blame all our problems on everybody else. And they're not treating us the way we want. They're not appreciating us the way we want. And so we think our real problem is everybody else. Sometimes we think our real problem is that we don't have things. We lack money. We lack opportunity. We lack the right degree. We lack the right pedigree. That's not our real problem. Sometimes we think our real problem is, oh, how evil the world is. And it's just so hard. The world just is so bad. Everything is going to pot. And I just, you know, I can't even do anything right. But Bartimaeus knows the real problem. The real problem is not everybody else. It's not that we lack something. It's not the world around us. The real problem is ourselves. It's our pride, our greed, our selfishness. It's thinking that we can fix problems. We can't. Bartimaeus couldn't fix his problem. He says, Jesus, have mercy. I want to see again. And that's exactly what Jesus wants us to ask for. Sight. To see that we are sinners in need of salvation, and to see that he's the one that's going to save us. And that's what Jesus is here today for, again, to give you sight, okay? Just like Bartimaeus, we get to ask Jesus. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you today? We say, we want to see. We want to see. We want God's word to open our eyes again to see his love for us, to see the truth. We want our eyes to be open to see our own needs and our own weaknesses and our own sinfulness so that we can see the greatest gift God has given us, which is our Savior Jesus Christ. And finally then, what happens when God does that, like he did for Bartimaeus, what happens when he opens our eyes is that we see that his word is always true. So your two examples are the disciples and Bartimaeus. The disciples, they were blind, and so they didn't believe Jesus' word. He's saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer and die. And they say, no, it can't be right. They didn't believe it. They were blinded. But Bartimaeus, he hears that Jesus is coming by, and he believes God's word. He believes that God was going to send the Messiah. He believes what he's heard about Jesus, and he believes that Jesus can give him sight. And he does. He believed God's word was true. And that's the faith that you and I ask for, too. We ask that God would open our eyes to see that his word is true. Okay, no matter if my heart tells me something different. No matter if my heart tells me, my heart and my conscience says, oh, God must be mad at me and, God's going to get back at me. No, I believe God's word is true. His word says he loves me and wants the best and will always work everything for good. No matter what the world tells me, if the world tells me that, well, there must not be a God and the only thing that we do is just live and die, I'm going to say no. I have eyes to see that God's word is true, that he has prepared a place for us in heaven, that this world is only temporary. No matter what anyone else tells us, we believe God's word to be true. So I want to give you finally one more example about this. Take the truth that you heard today from 1 Corinthians 13. We all love that chapter where Paul teaches us about love. Well, see, when we have faith, when Christ has opened our eyes, we start to see what love really is. And God's word, we start to see God's word is really true, that love is not just, the sappy thing that we hear about all the time. Love, according to God's word, is the love that God has for us, patient and kind. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't rejoice with wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. And our eyes are open to see that truth about love that Paul teaches us in Corinthians, that we have that love of Jesus, that he was not arrogant or rude or did not consider his own needs, but he went and suffered and died on the cross for our sins. And that teaches us what love truly is so that we can love, so that our eyes can be open to what love truly is. So let us then today learn something from Bartimaeus. He shows us faith in Jesus to expect the best and the greatest, not just to expect little things, but forgiveness, salvation, life everlasting, and then to see things for how they truly are, to see the great love that Jesus has for us, and to see that God's word will always be true. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.